Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today, I want to speak to New Year's resolutions. As we are coming to what in our society is agreed upon being the end of the calendar year, we can see a lot of promotion of New Year resolutions, New Year, New Life advertising, start fresh from a clean slate type of a message, and so on. And all these are accompanied by a lot of loud talk about taking stock of the year gone by and celebrate your successes. And I don't want to generalize with this. So if all of this that I've just mentioned works for you, that is wonderful. And definitely keep going with what works. However, if taking stock of the past year, trying to wipe the board clean, and all that makes you focus on all that you feel you have not done yet, on all that you could have done better, and so on, if the thought of setting the tone for the new year through resolutions fills you with dread and anxiety, if you're comparing yourself to all those people that are loudly celebrating how they had the best year yet and claiming how they're already prepared and set up for even more success for the next year, and when you do that, you feel like you're coming up short, then I get it. Then this episode is for you. And that is why because of all of these things that I just mentioned, I felt that creating this episode now at this time was really important. We are in a time when we get overloaded with information. Everyone on social media is sharing their mighty achievements, which in many cases shows only the polished version of their lives. You know, that's something to keep in mind. What we see on social media accounts is the best part of people's lives, if that part is even real. And that's really important to remember. And with all of that, I'm not saying that celebrating one's achievements is inherently a bad thing to do. I mean, if it's true, I'm all for celebrating. But it's important that as a viewer of all of that, of all of this content, you understand the mechanics of the triggers that can happen within us. You know, as a result of paying attention to all of that. It's not really that what's being shared is inherently bad. There's nothing bad in that. It's just what can be triggered in us that we need to be aware of. So if you're listening to this podcast, by now you've realized your mother is a narcissist or has shown clear narcissistic behavior. That's why you're here. So I want to go through some of the main traits again to fully understand why this time of the year and the whole analyzing the ending of the calendar year and the setting the famous New Year's resolutions can be truly a challenging time. Okay, let's go through some of the traits in order to understand this better. So a narcissistic mother's love is conditional. Okay, there are always conditions to meet in order to be loved by her. You need to be like she wants you to be, and you need to perform by her rules and standards, which are not often clear. Then a narcissistic mother compares her child to others. This could be to the other siblings or even to strangers. I mean, it could be a friend you're bringing home after school when you were a child, when you were a kid, that you get compared to her. It doesn't matter who it is, but it always leaves you, as in the child in question, feeling like they always come up short. A narcissistic mother wants to be needed, so she uses any possible way to communicate that you're not good enough, that you can't make it on your own, that you would not be able to do it without her. She will emphasize your so-called failures to make you believe she's essential in your life. So can you see the thread? Like, all of these points are to underline how you're not enough inherently by yourself. You know, there's conditions to her love. She compares you to others. So that seed of comparing yourself to others is planted very early on. So that goes back to the point I was making earlier. When we start comparing to the successes of other, is it bad that other people share their successes? But not really. They can share what the hell they want, but it's that comparison part that's been alive, that pattern that we've been taught since a very young age, is just, it just gets triggered. And also she will emphasize our failures, so that we're never feeling independent from her. But let's keep going with this. There's a few more points. So a narcissistic mother values public opinion above all, and she will mention your successes only when she can do that as if they were her own. Okay? She will take credit for your successes. And in the same way, she will talk about your failures if it serves her in conversation with others. So it makes her look better talking about your failures, or if she can complain about them so that she gets positive feedbacks from others, like, oh no, but it's not your fault, you've done your best with this child, and whatever stuff like that. A narcissistic mother feels in competition with her daughter. Okay, so she will not waste a good opportunity to belittle you and underline your lacks and limitations because she is competing with you on some level. And she uses guilt tripping and gaslighting as tools to prevent you from being independent and from succeeding, especially at things she did not manage to accomplish herself. Here we go back to the competing part. And if you ever manage to get there, okay, so if you ever manage to achieve something despite all that she's trying to do, she will take credit for it anyways. So again, we go back to that. And these are only a few of the main things that happens when you have a narcissistic mother. Her ways to manipulate you so that she can maintain that control over you. You remember, for a narcissistic mother, you are an extension of her. You're not a separate person. You don't have your own identity. You kind of don't have your own rights as a person. You are an extension of her. So all of this that I mentioned can leave you feeling not enough, unsafe, anxious, like you have to constantly perform in some way, unlovable unless you meet these unfathomable criteria that she sometimes speaks of, and sometimes they're not even obvious. Criteria of perfection that we don't even know what they are. I mean, this bar is never clear and it's always moving higher. Anytime you think you've achieved what you thought she wanted, she finds faults, or she finds someone else that is doing it better than you, or she tells you that when she was younger, she was doing it better than you, and whatever you've achieved means nothing. You're just lucky because you have all the best conditions, and she had to struggle to get to where you're getting so easily, and blah, blah, blah. So you're never actually just told that what you're doing is wonderful and amazing, just as it is. And this brings to feelings of constant anxiety about what you are doing and if it's the right decision and if it's not the right decision, and self-loathing, hopelessness, overdrive. You might just be doing a crazy amount. Do. Just with the constant hope that you're gonna get to feel that emptiness inside of your mother never rewarding you for who you are. Depression, even. All of that can come as a result of all that we just mentioned. So, in the light of what we just said, we need to be aware of all of it when we decide it's time to take stock of the year gone by. You know, such a process can trigger the feeling of being a failure, of not being good at anything, and of being inadequate in some ways. So, Whose voice is live in your head when you look back at the year gone by? Is it your heart's voice? Are you truly open to receive all the lived experience that you've been through? Or is it your mother's voice reminding you how faulty you are and how you haven't done good enough and how you could have done better? It's really important. During the 10 weeks one-on-one program, so many of you have mentioned the inner critic's voice, your mother voice. We have an episode on how to quieten that inner critic and go beyond it on this podcast. So you can go listen to that if that's a thing that resonates with you. But this inner critic voice is like as if your mother was like sitting on your shoulder, always repeating the same tune. You know, you're not good enough. Always there to remind you that you're not good enough. Always planting the seed of doubt if you're trying to make a decision, or if you're choosing to do something different. It's always there. Okay? And I really get it. I have one too. Even as I record this episode, she's there telling me how not good at this I am. And probably it always will be there. I've just been through like an incredibly lovely Christmas with my family, not my old family from the past, my family from now, my husband and my girls. And like I even got one of my children came up to us and told us how this was the best Christmas we've ever had together. And it was just really, really nice. And going to bed at night, that wave of anxiety comes in of what if I've done something wrong? What? And it's not even those sentences don't even come up into my head anymore, because at this point my brain knows that I don't actually believe those sentences. So it's too easy for me to spot the pattern when those words come into my head, like I haven't done a good enough job, or but it gets sneakier. It gets like it's a wave of the emotion, of the feeling of anxiety, and it's a wave of inevitably something is gonna go wrong because you don't deserve things to go this well. And that's that voice. So it's just I'm sharing this with you because this is real live lived experience. I mean, it's this day's experience, but that's what happens still within me. And that voice might be there for a very long time to come. The work is to start recognizing that voice for what it is. It's only an echo of the past, and it's nothing to do with reality right now. That voice is not here to tell me anything. It's just like, it's been a lovely Christmas. It's been a lovely time. That's it. I have nothing to worry about. It's purely the past that I remember. This is a memory that has come for me at times when I was just like in such a blissed out mode, doing my own games when I was a kid. You know, I had my toys, maybe my sister was with me, we were playing, and everything was lovely. And then all of a sudden, from maybe downstairs or another room, my mother would shout my name really loud and angry because I had done something in her mind that was not right. And she had to yell from another room, which would jolt, like I jump from that space of being completely like in your blissed out zone and safe. All of a sudden there was like this spear reaching my energy in my body, everything, and just making me feel like, oh my God, what have I done now? And that is now a day is still coming through in these waves of anxiety when something goes really, really well. That wave comes in because I'm expecting that voice from downstairs hitting me. So we all have this. We've all had experiences like this growing up. That's why you're here. And so these voices from the past keep emerging. And I just, first of all, actually, I want to tell you that you are amazing and beautiful as you are. So I wanted to share that. I wanted to share that experience and to say that those voices have nothing to do with how you are really as a person. They have nothing to do with your present situation. They are purely voices from the past. But that, those voices, that inner critic, that your mother sitting on your shoulder, when we are told, oh, it is really time to take stock of the year gone by. I mean, you need to just sit down and journal and do such and such and such and just make a list of all your achievements. And, you know, from here, you set the tone from the ne for the next year. You don't even have time to catch your breath in between the stresses before the holidays, which we spoke, we've had episodes about the amount of challenges and triggers that within the context of being a daughter of a narcissistic mother, within the context of having narcissistic family members, we have to go through, we go through before the holidays. So we haven't even caught our breath and we're like thrown into this new chapter, which is like take stock of the year gone by, set your New Year's resolutions, don't miss out, don't waste your time. There's like you get bombarded by promotions of like, you know, the quicker you book this thing, the quicker you do that, the quicker you get this new diet on, the quicker you get back to the gym and do your exercises, the quicker you whatever. It's like a lot. And if we are already trained by our mothers to feel like we're not enough, to feel like we need to compare ourselves to other, to feel like we're not allowed to stop and take a breath and actually take some time just to ourselves. This can be really toxic and it can really trigger a lot. It can become like just as challenging as the time before the holidays. So I wanted to give a little bit of that context. Let's talk for a moment about comparing, for example, as well. Sorry, for again, that was something we mentioned earlier. That is one of the patterns that started early when your mother compared you with your siblings, if you have any, or with your friends, or with whoever she decided was doing something better than you. So comparing your achievements or perceived lack of them to what other people share is a recipe for disaster, and I'm sure you know that by now. And I know it is hard not to fall into the trap of comparing when it all seems so loudly advertised. I mean, I know that these people that put stuff out, they do a really good job. Okay, they do a really good job. The images are photoshopped or changed, and obviously, when you're putting snapshots of your life and you want to share it publicly, well, most of the time you're going to put the best bits, okay? You're not going to put in the photo albums the shitty photos. You're only going to put the best ones. And you're going to make sure to underline all of that. And if you're advertising a product, if you're advertising a diet, if you're advertising a coaching program, if you're whatever, like you're going to advertise it in the best way possible, using all the means you have to make it sound appealing and to make it sound like you got there. Okay, that's just that makes. I don't know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me because I don't believe that if you're fooling, like, I mean, to advertise something that is not true is always going to come out on the surface eventually, sooner or later. But I know that there's a lot of that out there. And so it's easy to believe who shouts the loudest. A good medicine for that is taking a break from social media, from your phone. Take a break from the noise. Take some time to detox. take time to just leave that to one side and connect with yourself, connect with what you really feel at this time is what your system needs, what you need. Maybe you don't need this brand new diet. Maybe your body doesn't need to just book the gym on January 2nd. Maybe you don't need to set like this incredibly detailed plan of how when 2024 is gonna go for you. Maybe your body doesn't need any of that. Maybe it just needs a little bit more care. Maybe just a bit of time, just a bit of time of quiet. Slowing down and taking a breath, like a real breath, that can just be so nourishing and so enough. And you're totally allowed to do just that. You can give yourself permission to do just that. You can go sit in your sacred space for a while, or maybe you can just go for a walk, or maybe you can take a break altogether and go for a holidays if that's what your body calls for. Or maybe you can just sit down and read a book. I mean, if you haven't done much of that in the last while, feel into yourself, into your own body, and take a break from the noise. There's so many, I know even with the women working with me, this habit of scrolling down the phone, even as first thing in the morning, you get up in the morning and the first thing you do, you take up your phone and you start checking it, and it's like straight away into the noise, straight away. It's like getting up in the morning and first thing you do, you call your mother. I mean, why would you do that? I most certainly wouldn't do that because that's like starting my day with a punch in the stomach first thing. So that's the equivalent. It's like that inner critic starts working straight away. The comparison bug starts going straight away. All of that. Subconsciously, we don't realize we're doing it as we're scrolling down the phone, but that's what happens every single time. Have you noticed how to like notice, actually notice how your body feels before, especially if you're one of those people that do it first thing in the morning. And I've been there, so there's no judgment here. I've done that plenty. I had to recognize the pattern and I had to put an end to it. So I'm not saying this from like some crazy pedestal. I know how addictive and how that pull feels. Been wanting to check, but feel into your body and notice how your body feels before you check, before you scroll down, and how it feels afterwards. And bring your awareness just to that. And you'll notice a difference. You'll notice a difference. Maybe not at first, because the numbing effect of it is made on purpose so that you don't actually become aware of that difference. So it's a little bit subtle at the beginning. You need to really bring your full awareness to it and consciously want to feel that difference. But try it and see how that goes. New Year resolutions are the other thing that can truly trigger a lot of inadequacy and anxiety, and that is the main topic. That's what I wanted to talk about. But I felt like taking stock of the year gone by is sort of like where it all starts, because you can't really set New Year's resolutions if you haven't taken stock of the year gone by, because then otherwise you don't know what to set. Okay, so that's really important. They're kind of interlinked together. Again, I'm not saying that it is not a good thing to use the beginning of this new cycle. So I'm not going to talk about new year, last year, old year, and whatever. It's merely a cycle. Okay? Life moves in cycles. Everything in nature moves in cycles. And there's a death and rebirth cycles. And I'm not talking about reincarnation here. I'm just talking about literally within a lifetime, within a life, there's like things that we let go of, and that's the death phase. And then there's a rebirth. So when we let go of stuff, we actually give birth to ourselves in a new way. And this happens all the time. It happens in our body, I mean our cells in our body just progressively and slowly and cyclically die out and then regenerate, some quicker than other depending on the parts of our body. So like everything, the seasons are a cycle, the moons go in cycle, as women we menstruate, that's a cycle. So there's all these cycles that happen. And the famous end of year, new year, well, that is nothing else but another cycle. It's purely that we have agreed, our society, our part of the world has agreed that, yeah, we're going to do it this way. Other parts of the world, their cycles is different. So it's like a contract, really. We don't even need to go with this. You mightn't even feel you're at the end of the cycle right now at all. And so if you're not, this doesn't apply at all. But let's talk about it in terms of cycles. So I'm not saying that it's not a good thing to use the beginning of this new cycle as an opportunity to implement some positive change. But it is very important how we go about doing that. Okay, so I want to give you a few things to keep in mind as you are going through this process of end of cycle and beginning of a new one. So the end of the year, point number one, the end of the year, start of new year thing is what it is. Just an agreed upon thing. That's what we just mentioned. It's not real. Okay? There's not all this pressure. Like, it's not a thing. You might not feel like you are at the natural end of a cycle for you or at the natural beginning of one. So there's no need to force it. It's not a big deal. You feel into your own inner guidance, feel where you are and go by that. Forget about the noise. And that's where taking a break from all the noise can really support you, because that inner guidance doesn't get to speak if all the rest is very, very, very loud. So if we just quieten the rest for a little while, we might be able to listen to that a little bit better. And also remember that your narcissistic mother never wanted you to develop or listen to your inner guidance. Okay? Her guidance was, and maybe still is, the only thing that you're supposed in her mind to be listening to. So again, turning off that noise and tuning into yourself is a really, really, really powerful practice. And there's a lot of healing that starts happening when you do that. Point number two, there's no such thing as a clean slate. So when we're talking in terms of cycles, and we forget about the whole year, and we're talking about cycles, no cycle actually really ends like, boom, that's it, end, gone, disappeared, and then clean slate, and then a new one just lands like this, like out of nowhere. That doesn't happen. Every new cycle is built on the foundations of the previous one, okay? Cycles are not separate circles. You know, if you're thinking about it as an imagery, you don't imagine a heap of separate circles that are like isolated into their own. They stack on one another more like a spiral. So there's like this continuous movement. The end of one cycle blends in with the beginning of the other one, and it just keeps going up. So like each cycle, the newest one, stands on the foundations of all the ones that came before. So you can't have the new without the old having been there. There isn't a hard stop. So as long as you reject what has been, as long as you resist it and beat yourself up for it, you will not be able to fully open to receive the new that is coming in. And that's a really important point. When you look back to the year gone by, and not only the year, the last year, but everything in your life so far, and there's like a resisting it, a rejecting it, hating yourself for it, blaming yourself or others, shaming yourself or others for the experiences that you've had so far, it's like your back is turned to the new cycle. You can't act because you're so focused on what's behind you, and you're so still entangled with all of that. You can't really fully open to receive what's coming next. And that's okay. Like, if that's where you're feeling you're at, that's, I totally get that. I mean, I've had years of my life actually exactly in that situation, so I truly get it. I had to go through a lot of work to be able to actually start fully, but not fully, I'm not there fully either, but to really begin, that's more accurate, to receive what's coming and open up and even understand what the meaning of opening up to the new cycle was. So it's a process, but I'm just giving you, I'm just giving you an idea of how it can be, and it can be a lot different than what it has been so far. Trust me. Point number three, when looking back on the year gone by, take it all in. And that sort of builds up on the previous point, you know. You take in the so-called good and the so-called bad. And then, so without resisting it, as we said, without rejecting it, you take it all in. And then put special emphasis on what feels good to you. Okay, so not what you think would make your mother happy about you. Because that is a battle we are set to lose every time anyways. I mean, we're never going to make her happy. We might as well just accept that. But look at what you've achieved. So when you're thinking in terms of achievements, the achievements that are meaningful to you. Okay, maybe your mother wanted you to have such and such career. But if that's what your mother wanted and it's not what you want, even if you got there, that's not an achievement. That is just filling her shoes. And it's okay. If you've done that, it's okay. I've done that for 10 years of my life. I worked in a job that was my mother's expectations of me, so that's okay. Like, it's totally okay. But what's the, like, if it's more meaningful to you that you've achieved, like, I don't know what, you got to go for a walk more often because that's actually really nourishing for you, and that is something that really jumps out at you as you're looking back at your year. That's okay. Put that in the achievement and feel that. Feel whatever it is. You cooked more often, maybe, because you really enjoy doing that. Even if your mother told you you're the worst cook on the planet, that's her voice. We don't need to listen to that voice. What we're needing to listen is our heart, that inner voice, that inner wisdom that says, I really enjoy doing that. And that was an achievement because I allowed myself to do a little bit more of that. Or I allowed myself to be at home more with my kids. Or whatever it is for you. It's acknowledging yourself for how far you've come. And regard all the rest as experiences that were necessary steps to get you to here and now. Everything was a necessary step to get you to here and now. So nothing is bad, actually. Point number four, receive the wisdom you've gained through each experience. So if everything was a necessary step that taught you something, and there's a wisdom, like a general wisdom, you don't need to go one point at the time, but like there's a general wisdom that you've gained through the old cycle, and there are no failures, there are no mistakes, there is only wisdom gained. And when you can open up to that, when you can literally, if you want to journal on that, journal on the achievements that were meaningful to you, and journal on the wisdom that you've gained through every experience, turn it all around. Point number five, remember that you are already lovable and perfect as you are. You have nothing to prove to no one, not even to the part of yourself that still judges you. Not even to that part. There's no need to set crazy high bars for yourself to prove your worth. There's no need to set crazy New Year's resolution to show the world that you are worth something. You don't need to do all that. By all means, do it if it is what feels good to you. If you want to set some resolutions, because that actually feels good to you. Not because you're broken, inadequate, and not enough, and you need to fix something about yourself, but because that really feels good to you, then do it. But you are lovable already. Despite all that, like, you don't need to go with any of that. You are lovable and amazing as you are just now. Number six, this is really important. Know that there's what we call divine timing in all things that come to you. Okay, so when you set the foundations of a new cycle, you need to feel into what feels right to you to be called in and not what you think should be the right thing to want. Okay, again, this all the shoulds and right versus wrong and all of that, that's a lot of bananas. You need to feel into what feels right and good and nourishing to you. And that's the stuff that is the right time to call in. If you're trying to push stuff in that is not meant to come at this time because there is the because you're not ready for that, because that is not, or because that is not what you really want, or the foundations have not been set yet. You can't build the roof of a house if the foundations are not there. So that's where that divine timing comes in. Call in and feel into what feels right for you to call in, to be called in. Number seven, if by going very specific in setting the tone for the new cycle, you're triggering inadequacy and anxiety, stay general. Okay, feel into your body, feel what brings closure and tension. So when you're speaking to, even journaling or speaking out loud about it or talking to yourself about it, feel when your body closes and tenses. Okay, that's the stuff that there's something there that isn't feeling right. Or maybe there's some stuff that needs to be cleared out before that feels right. Okay, mightn't be the idea in itself that doesn't feel right, but there might be some blocks. There's some stuff that's going down still. Okay, so there's work to be done there. There's more feeling to be done into it. And feel what brings you inspiration instead. What brings that feeling of opening? And that is where you're going. Okay, that's the stuff that you're ready to call in. Point number eight, stay playful. Stay playful, because we can risk to get very serious about all of this and really just, I don't know, take ourselves an awful lot too serious. I risk to do that quite often. You know, as if like the wrong step or the wrong decision at the beginning of the year, it's going to mess up your entire year. That's not true. You know, as if we only get this one chance to set it right and after that we're doomed. That again is not true. That is nonsense. You like, I mean, you can turn your life around any second of any day. It's there's never like this, oh my God, beyond this point, I've done it. I've made so many mistakes, it's irreparable at this point. No, that doesn't happen. Doesn't matter how much you mess up, you can always try again. Okay, there, as we said, there's no mistakes or failures, there's only experiences. So stay playful, experiment and play. Bring the element of fun into your life. You know, what if I did a little bit more of this year? What if I did a little bit less of that? And see how that goes, and sample it for a month, and then see. And then maybe that didn't work, or maybe it did. So what if I do a little bit more again and play like that? And on this note, I want to announce the last of this mini series of special episodes that we did during this time. So we've had my husband Marco Scher as a guest. We've had Megan Mahalohani last week, and this week on Thursday, we're gonna have a special guest that is a lady that has changed my life 100%, like with her art and her amazingly loving support. She's been so, and she still is so important in my life. So in the next episode on this coming out this Thursday, I want to welcome in Val Young. She's an artist, illustrator and wonderful friend. So stay tuned. And we're going to talk about all things creative and bringing what it means to be bringing creativity and playfulness in as a way of life, and also how to spark up creativity, which doesn't just necessarily mean into the painting world, but into anything creative that you want to do in your life. Okay, it's been such an amazing conversation, and yet again has opened my eyes to new layers of that. So stay tuned for that. That was just a quick note because this point made a lot of sense. To introduce her on that. So stay playful. Stay playful. That was point number 8. Point number 9, feel into the new cycle. And you can welcome in a team for it rather than setting a very specific goal or more than one goal or the famous resolutions. So this for you could be the year of abundance, for example, that's your team, or the year of gratitude, or the year of acceptance, or the year of softening into your heart, the year of healing, the year of reclaiming your life, and so on. So just give it a theme. When I was saying earlier, when we get to specifics, sometimes we're triggering responses and we get anxious and we get like, oh, that's too much, overwhelmed even. But when you get general, so, and again, it goes with that feeling into the body. If you get too specific and you start feeling that tension and closure coming up, just take a step back. It's like broadening the vision, you know, and making yourself more open. And take a step back again if you need, and feel at what point you can feel your body softening and feeling inspiration again. And stay general like that. That's softer. So feeling, giving a theme to your entire cycle, to this new cycle, which doesn't, by the way, have to be from January to December 2024. This new cycle could be the next couple of weeks, could be the next couple of months, could be the next couple of hours, could be the next moon, whatever. Like, it doesn't have to have a 12-month length. But feel into the new cycle coming and give it a theme that feels good and nourishing to you, okay, to your heart and to your soul. And you don't even need to share that. That's actually a point I haven't made in any of this, but your mother doesn't need to know that you're going through all this process. Your mother doesn't need to hear about the theme of the year for you or what you're planning to do or not do and your different view of the entire new cycle and the healing that you're doing, none of that. If it's not safe to share, which is, if she's a narcissistic mother, I can tell you quite for a fact. I very rarely state facts, but it's rarely a safe thing to do, to share with your mother all of this. She'll have her opinion and she will make sure you hear about them. And they're not going to be constructive ones. So I would definitely try my best to avoid doing that. Then you can feel into it, as always. Don't take my word. Feel into it. That's very important. You know your situation better than anyone else. That's just a little bit of an advice. Point number 10, the last point. Be kind and gentle with yourself. Connect with the nourishing mother energy that is within you. You know, the one we spoke in the last special episode, that divine mother energy that is inside of you. We have that. So connect with that. Let that be your guide every step of the way. Remember that nothing is set in stone. Nothing is final. Stay open to receive. Remain flexible and soft. And when you're not flexible and soft, that's okay. You go back to your breath, go back to the tools you have, and get flexible. A little bit more flexible, a little bit softer. While all the same holding the structure of the strong foundations that you've already set with all the cycles gone by. Don't forget that. You have a strong foundation under your feet. Well, you have the earth first of all. I mean, she's the biggest mother energy. She's there and she's our foundation. So even if you're not feeling anything else, she's there. You can place your feet on the ground now, even if you are at the 10th story of a building. The earth is underneath you no matter what. Like, you can feel the ground. You can feel her. Go outside. Go anywhere where you can feel her underneath you. That foundation is always there. And then there's also the foundation of all the old cycles that are part of you and that you have been living and experiencing. And each step taught you something. Each step brought some wisdom to you. And so open to all of that. Feel that strength, that solidity underneath you, like, and behind you, kind of holding you. And then softly open up, gently, a little bit at a time. Stay general if you must, to receive the next cycle, however long that feels to you. Okay? So that's a completely different way to go about this whole thing of taking stock of the last year and setting New Year's resolution. This is what I do. The whole New Year resolution stuff, I've tried it. That really didn't really work. Brought a lot of hardness and a lot of self-judgment. So it wasn't really for me. But I've seen in my years working that this time of the year, just there's an amp up of the anxiety and the pressure, and the pressure that we feel on so many levels. So try this different way to go about it. Listen to this episode again. Go through the different points. Journal about it if that is your thing. Sit with it. Whatever it is that your process is, feel it. Feel the new cycle coming to you. Feel the old cycles holding you. Bring in that divine mother energy that is in you, and see how it goes. And I love to hear your experience of this, what your thoughts about this. If you are indeed finding it challenging, you can share that with me. The email is in the description of the episode. You know, I love hearing from you. I'd love to hear how this time of the year goes for you. And if you have questions, if you need any particular support on it, as always, please reach out and I will get back to you. And yeah, again, we're at that time when we're gonna think about hanging the new calendar on the wall. So I want to take this time for a moment to thank you really, really from the bottom of my heart. If you've listened to the last, maybe two episodes ago, I was talking about my daughter creating, my 9-year-old daughter creating a dragon calendar for next year without yet knowing that it was the Chinese year of the dragon. We found that out afterwards. And she's doing that because she loves arts and she wants to get more equipment. So it was amazing to receive your feedback and to get to ship the calendar worldwide. We have shipped it further than we thought it would ever get. So thank you so much for that. And just, we still have a few left. So if anyone feels like contributing and purchasing one of my daughter's calendars, the link is going to be in the description. I think this is the last time that we're going to put it up. In a few days I'm going to take the page down. So if you want, you can grab yours still. So thank you for that. And yeah, with this I'm going to leave you and also wish you all the best for the new cycle coming on. Lots of love. Bye for now.